Parshas Vayakel, Pekudei, Bruchim Aboim to everybody. This will be Be'ezus Hashem, the last shir this month. This time next week, we will be into Chodesh Nisan. Because this week is a double parsha, Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei, so we'd like to discuss something that really spans both Vayakel and Pekudei, and this is of course not difficult because the subject of Parshas Vayakel is very much the subject of Parshas Pekudei, and that is, once again, we revisit the building of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is apparently such a central mitzvah in the Torah that it requires five parashiyos in the Torah to describe it. Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisiso, Vayakel, and Pekudei. So there is a medrash that I'd like to share with you, a medrash in this week's parasha, Parshas Vayakel, and another medrash in next week's parasha, Parshas Pekudei, and we will see the obvious connection. There's a pasuk in this week's parasha, in pasuk Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Re'u Koro Hashem B'Shem Betzalel Ben Uri Ben Hur Lamate Yehuda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appointed, as it were, Betzalel to be the one to oversee the construction of the Mishkan. So the Medrash says the following very important line. Says the Medrash, Chotu Yisrael Be'esh. Klal Yisrael sinned with fire. Which sin is this referring to? Obviously, the sin of the golden calf, the Egel Hazov. That's where they sinned with fire. Because it says, Vo'ashlichehu bo'esh. When Aaron HaKohen threw the gold into the fire, V'yotzo ho'egel hazer. Bo Betzalel v'ripe es hamako. So Betzalel is the one who is charged with healing the wound. Betzalel, the Medrash describes, had the koyach of Eish, with which he constructed the Mishkan, and this is an exact tikkun for the chait of the Egel, which also came about through Eish. So we learn from this Medrash a very important principle, and that is that the construction of the Mishkan, the mitzvah to build the Mishkan, was in fact a kapora for the chait ha-Egel. Now, this might be a little bit confusing, because the instruction to build the Mishkan is in fact found in Parshas Truma, which is 2 weeks prior to Parshas Kisisa, which is where the Chet HaEgel is mentioned. But we know that Ein Muktam U'Mu'ucha B'Torah, the chronological order doesn't always follow the order of the Torah, and in fact, according to this Medrash, the Chet HaEgel preceded the instruction to build the Mishkan, such that Parshas Kisisa really comes first. So first, Klal Yisrael sinned with a golden calf, following which they are told that they must construct the Mishkan as a kapara for the Egel. There is a Medrash also in this week's parasha, where the Medrash in fact expounds and says, Klal Yisrael, when they initially built the Egel Hazov, it says that they offered all their materials, their precious stones, their gold, their silver. So too, they did exactly the same when they constructed the Mishkan. If first time round, they donated their gold and silver for the cause of the Chet HaEgel, second time round, they were in fact donating it for a different cause. The cause, which was actually the Kapara for the Chet HaEgel. So much so, that the Medrash finishes with a fascinating line. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that if somebody steals a shoir, he steals an ox and slaughters it, he's got to pay 5 times the original amount. If the original shoir was worth $1,000, he's got to pay $5,000. So the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu claimed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael are indeed paying this fivefold penalty, because they might well have donated to the Egel, but in this week's parasha you find that they brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Choch, Nezem, Tabas, Ogil, Vakumos, 5 different materials. So that is like the penalty of the shoir that was stolen and slaughtered. So too, this is Klal Yisrael's penalty. Once again you see that the kapora for the Chet HaEgel was brought about by the construction of the Mishkan. And moving swiftly on to Parshas Pekudei, we find the exact same theme there as well. Because there is a Medrash that says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yovoi Zohov, let them bring gold for the Mishkan, the Yechaper al Zohov ha'ego. Not only that, another fascinating comparison. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, when you danced around the eagle, what was the word that you used? Eile. You angered me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the word Eile, because you said, Eile Elohecha. This is our God. Build the Mishkan. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. So the Eile of the Mishkan is an atonement for the Eile that brought about the Chet HaEgel. So, these Medrashim, which are to be found in both Pashas Yakel and Pekudei, all show us one clear theme. And that is that the Mishkan was a kapora for the Egel. You once upon a time brought gold and silver for the purpose of the Egel, now donate that very same gold and silver for a different cause, for the Mishkan, to bring the Shekhinah down to Olam Hazeh. We need, of course, to try and explain how indeed is the construction of the Mishkan in any way a kapora for the Chet HaEgel. And in order to understand that, we once again revisit a classic piece in the Beis HaLevi. We have mentioned this in previous years, and it is worth reviewing. The Beis HaLevi is obviously coming to address one of the most difficult questions to answer, and that is, what was the Chet HaEgel all about? It seems impossible to try and understand that Klal Yisrael, who had very recently experienced Geulas Mitzrayim and the Esem Makos and the Makas Bechoirois, Kriyas Yamsuf and above all Matan Toiro, and to merely suggest that just a mere few weeks later, they've rejected it all. We're not interested in having a Kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't want his Torah. We'd rather opt for a life of Avodah Zarah. That obviously is unacceptable. That cannot be the explanation. So, the Beis HaLevi explains as follows, and this is very, very yesodistic. The Beis HaLevi introduces us to a yesod, and he says, every mitzvah in the Torah, without exception, as we well know, has, as he describes it, ta'amim, the kavonois, the remozim, the soidois nistorim, have hidden secrets. So on the surface, it might well be that when we shake lulav, all we're doing is waving a branch. But there are, of course, deep messages and inyonim. We can perhaps just scratch the surface and we look in Chazal and we see that the lulav, for example, is like the spine and the hadassim is like the eyes and the esrog, the lave. And then we go a bit further and we see that the one has a smell and one has a taste and one is keneged the rosha and one is keneged the tzaddik, etc., etc. So we already begin to see that this is not merely a branch waving ceremony. Clearly there is depth, there is oimek, and we can just imagine that there's layer upon layer upon layer of yesoidois v'ramozim elyoinim. Said the Beis HaLevi, let's take a classic example, and that is the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. So on the surface, what is it? Building a bayis for Hashem. So there has to be a shulchan, has to be a menorah. And yet we see there is so much intricate detail. There is so much intricate detail on how tall and how wide and what they must be constructed from and which material and what size and all the various protim. And clearly we understand that there must be things that we don't understand. Why on earth would it make a difference if the shulchan is made out of zahav or kesef, if it's 3 amas tall or 2 amas tall? Put a table in the Mishkan. What size? What material? Why is that important? And apparently it is important. It must be once again that depending on the material, depending on the location, depending on the dimensions, depending on the size, every single detail, every single complexity of the Kleya Mishkan clearly must be laden with profound, deep meaning, which apparently has effect in all the Olamos and the Olamos Ho'elyonim, and we can just understand that we don't really understand. Imagine if we were able to understand. Imagine if you'd have somebody who is a tremendous Talmud Chacham and he would say, you know something? I actually understand the deepest secrets of the Lulav, or of Tfilin, or of Shofar, or of Matzah. And I've actually worked out that if I would alter the mitzvah slightly, and perform it in a different way, it would produce the same effect. That's clearly not something that we can possibly suggest, because we don't understand the meaning. But somebody who does understand the meaning of the mitzvahs, l'chayra, he should be entitled to be able to say that I can reprogram because it reaches the same effect. Let's give a very basic moshel. I'm not very computer savvy. So if I read my computer manual and it says, press ABC and you'll get this result, and you press DEF and it's a different result. So who am I to say, I'd rather not press ABC, I'm in fact going to push different buttons, GQR. Well, then you won't get the same result. Because this computer has been programmed in a particular way. You press the wrong buttons, you get the wrong result. But imagine if you were in fact somebody who is a great computer expert, and you know exactly why it is that when you press *3Z, that produces a particular result, and you know full well that the same result will be reached if you press different buttons as well. And in fact, if you don't press *3Q, but rather you press *4H, it'll produce the same result. Well, then that's absolutely fine. For somebody who understands the secrets of a computer and the internal workings of a computer, well, as long as you get to the same result as the end, it doesn't really make a difference how you get there. L'chayra, that's a fair moshel for mitzvahs as well. If I understand the true secrets of the lulav, and I can appreciate that in fact, if I wouldn't shake a lulav, I in fact only shake a banana of a certain dimension, it'll produce the same spiritual results, well, maybe I should be licensed to do so. Says the Beis HaLevi, this is the terrible, he doesn't obviously use the moshel of computers, but if we're comparing it to computers, a computer is a machine. So whichever button you press, if it produces the same result in the end, it doesn't make a difference whether that's what it says in the computer manual or not. If it works, then it works. With regard, lahavdil elef alfei avdolos, to mitzvahs, there's no such thing as does it work or does it not work. Because if it's not mandated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then by definition it's flawed. So even if I know all the secrets, why it is that a lulav or tefillin or mezuzah or matzah can produce all these great secrets in the Olamos HaElyonim, and I want to try and reprogram the mitzvah, it's fundamentally flawed. Do you know why? Because it was never sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A mitzvah is not a it's not a machine which needs to be programmed, and if you can bypass the code, then you can press different buttons. No. A mitzvah produces its effects because it is a mitzvah. The root of the word mitzvah is tzav, instruction. It's been sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it hasn't been sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then by definition, any possible calculation and reprogramming is by definition wrong. Says the Beis HaLevi, that is what happened at the Chet HaEgel. Do you know what the problem is in the Chet HaEgel was? Klal Yisrael were not rejecting for one moment the Oil HaTorah. Klal Yisrael were not opting for a different lifestyle of Avodah Zarah. Rather, they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't returned. They figured that they need now an alternative, as it were, mokoim for Ashras Ashchina, if it can't be through Moshe. They need to have a different connection, and they figured that the Egel Azov would be the correct one. Do you know what the problem was? They were 100% right. The only problem was they were 100% wrong. Meaning, there was no tzivui. An Egel Azov is not a computer program. With all the cheshbonis in the world, it was fundamentally flawed. Because for all the kavonis, for all the good intentions, but this was never instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By definition, it cannot be a mitzvah, therefore. It cannot, therefore, be a mitzvah. The Mishkan, with all its intricate detail, what is the phrase that repeats itself time and time and time again, in fact, 18 times in our parashas this week? Ka'asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. Why must that be mentioned so many times? In fact, why do we need Pashas Vayakal and Pekudei at all? It's going to be a very lengthy Kriyas HaTorah this Shabbos. Surely we could have summarized all of Pashas Vayakal and Pekudei, all 200 psukim, into one pasuk. And what is that? They did as instructed. the instruction from the Mishkan was relayed to Klal Yisrael, and they did it. Well, we've just saved 200 psukim. It's not what it says. They then built the Shulchan, and this was the height, and this was the length, and they constructed it, Ka'asher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. They then moved on to the Mizbeach, this was the height, and this was the width, and this was the material, and they built it, Ka'asher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. And the same thing with the Menorah, and the same thing with the Kelim, and the same thing with the Begodim. Time and time again, says the Beis HaLevi, this was the Kapora for the Egel. Because the root, the shayrish of the chet or egel, was that it was not kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. It's not a computer. It cannot be reprogrammed. And therefore, the antidote must therefore be a mishkan with 1,000 details which have to be performed kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. That is the kapara. Not only that, says the Beis HaLevi. Who is the one who constructed the mishkan? Bezalel. Bezalel's name says it all. Bezalel Kael. He is in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal say he actually knew the secrets of the Bria. He knew how you can be mitzaref the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to produce Olamos. But if that's the case, Bezalel should be the first one to be allowed to produce the Mishkan as he sees fit. He knows all the secrets? No. Precisely Bezalel, Bezalel Kael, he knows the shadow of God. He's the one who is instructed, can build a Beis HaMikdash, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. That's the kapara for the Egel. The Egel was not an Aveira about rejection of Torah, rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, it was Avodas Hashem the way that we see it. It was Avodas Hashem according to our understanding. But it hasn't been sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so by definition it's flawed. What must be the kapora, says the Beis HaLevi? The kapora has to be, build a Beis HaMikdash, whether you do understand or don't understand, time and time and time again, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. Why? Because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs. The Beis HaLevi continues and he quotes a medrash. A very peculiar sounding medrash. The medrash says, how could it be that Klal Yisrael on the one hand said Na'aseh V'Nishma and on the other hand served the Egel? Why are those two opposite sides of the coin? The very Klal Yisrael who said Na'aseh V'Nishma have now served an Egel, says the Beis HaLevi, Nifla B'Yosa. What is the aside of Na'aseh V'Nishma? The aside of Na'aseh V'Nishma is that we put Nishma at the end. We will do as instructed. Nishma, after that, we will try and understand it. But our performance of Avodas Hashem is not based on our understanding. We perform Avodas Hashem because it's Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. After that, we can try and understand. If we understand, that's great. And if we don't understand, that's fine as well. If they would have said Nishma V'Nase, what would that have indicated? That we're only prepared to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it makes sense, to our understanding. Na'aseh V'Nishma in that order was a clear declaration that no, Na'aseh we will do because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has instructed. Whether it's understandable or not understandable is irrelevant. Then, and only then, can we move on to the V'Nishma, we will attempt to understand. Dvorim Nifloim B'Yosef the Beis HaLevi. Says the Beis HaLevi in conclusion, we now understand further depth to the whole idea of the Pora Aduma. The Pora Aduma is described in the Torah as a choik, zois chukas haTorah, and yet everybody seems to be giving reasons. Rashi quotes the famous Reb Moshe HaDarshan, the eagle is the young calf, the Pora is the cow, it's the mother, so the mother has to come and, as it were, clean up the mess of the child, etc., etc. Well, if the Torah describes it as a choik, why is everybody suggesting reasons? Says the Beis HaLevi, Pora Aduma is a choik. Why is there an instruction of Pora Aduma? The answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said so. Ka'asher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, we must not attempt to understand or suggest reasons. And in fact, as logical as it may well seem, we have to reinforce that understanding that we don't understand, even if we think that we do. And that's why it says, Zois Chukas HaTorah. This is an indication that in fact the whole of the Torah is like this. Sometimes we understand and sometimes we don't understand. The common denominator is, either way, why are we keeping Torah or mitzvahs? Ka'asher Sivo Hashem Es Moshe. Pora Adumo is the great teacher that even if it seems to be logical, you have to understand that in fact you don't understand. And precisely because the details of the Pora Aduma do in fact parallel the Egel, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to teach you that it in fact is a chayk. Were it not to be parallel, then I wouldn't even have a minor it wasn't a chayk. But because it's so similar, there are so many details that seem to parallel perfectly the whole chayt Egel, that's where the Torah teaches you know this is a chayk, and in fact the whole Torah is a chayk. This is the shtickle of the Beis Halevi. So we learn from a Beis Halevi a tremendous yesod, both in understanding mitzvahs in general, but also the construction of the Mishkan specifically. Mitzvahs are not computers. It's not a question of having it programmed, and if you can now bypass the program, then do it yourself. There is no such thing as DIY Yiddishkeit. If it's not kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe, then with all of the pure intentions, you have to realize it's in fact avodah zarah. It's chet ha'ego. To be a Yiddishkeit entrepreneur doesn't exist. Kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. You cannot do it yourself. The Mishkan, albeit this is a rule across the board, but the Mishkan teaches me, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, time and time and time again, that was the kapara for the Egel, because that was the Shoresh of the Chet Egel. The Egel was all about Kasher Loi Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, and that's why it was so flawed. According to the Beis Halevi, I think there are a number of details in the Mishkan that we can now understand with greater depth. What happened on the grand opening day? The opening ceremony of the Mishkan, which should have been a great simcha in Klal Yisrael, turned out to be a day of tragedy. Nadav and Avihu were killed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them. Why? Because they were makriv and esh zoro asher loy tziva oisa. Why was that punishable by death? Now we understand. To be makriv and esh asher loy tziva oisa is absolutely antithetical to the whole concept of the Mishkan. It's not just an aveira on a small scale. It's the opposite of what the entire yesoid of the Mishkan stands for. The whole yesoid of the Mishkan is Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. On the grand opening ceremony, on that very day, to go and bring a korban, Sheloi Tzivo Oysom, that Aveira gets magnified 1,000-fold. That's why they had to be taken. Who was the one who ultimately constructed the Egel? It was Aaron HaKohen. What is Aaron HaKohen's Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash? He lights the menorah. What is the famous Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Baha'loischa? Lahagid shvochoi shel Aaron sheloi shino. That was Aaron HaKohen's avodah. Sheloi shino. Do not make any changes. You were involved in the Chet HaEgel, which was all about non kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. Light the menorah day in, day out for 40 years straight. V'magid shvochoi shel Aaron sheloi shino. No change. It's got to be sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That will be the kapara for the Egel. There is a principle called Kol HaMoisif Goyreya. Translation, whoever adds, in fact, diminishes. Where do we learn this from? We learn this from the Mishkan. It says that the Oroin has to be constructed Amosayim V'chetzi Orkoi, which translates as 2.5 amos of length. Says the Gemara, don't change those dimensions, kol ha-moisif goyreya. You might think to yourself, maybe let's make the oroin bigger and better. Bigger and better. No, kol ha-moisif goyreya. If you add, you're actually subtracting. But it's fascinating to point out. Why indeed is this principle of kol ha-moisif goyreya taught to us in the parasha of the Mishkan? According to the Beis Halevi, we understand. Because kol ha-moisif goyreya means you might well want to be moisif. Because you might think that you've cracked the secret. You've worked out the code. You can reprogram. Why build an aron of only 2.5 amas? I think it'll be much more prominent and mechubad to perhaps build it 10 amas. But then you are megareya. Do you know why you're megareya? Because it's not kasher tzibur Hashem is Moshe. This principle has to be taught to us dafka in the Mishkan. Because that is the whole yesoid of the mitzvah of the Mishkan. The whole yesoid of the mitzvah of the Mishkan is kasher tzibur Hashem is Moshe. And if you build an oren which you may well think is bigger and better, it's not bigger, neither is it better. You think you're being moisif, kol ha-moisif geireya. On the grand opening day, as mentioned, the inauguration of the Mishkan turned to be a very tragic day, and Adar Yom Hazeh, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is a day of Misas Tzadikim, it's a fast. The Shulchan Aruch says that even though you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh, but on Rosh Chodesh Nisan you are. Next week is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What is the Yesod of Rosh Chodesh Nisan? The Yesod of Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the day that Nadav and Avihu produced the Korban Asher Lo Yitziva Oisa. But all of this was predicted because Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu in fact told Aaron HaKohen at the time of Matan Torah, Bikroivai Ekodesh, there are going to be great holy tzaddikim who are taken. In fact, your two sons. Why was that necessary to mention at the time of Matan Torah? What has Nadav and Avihu's Misa got to do with Matan Torah? And the answer is because there was an enormous watershed at the time of Matan Torah. It was a great change in the whole Tzura of Avodas Hashem. Reb Chaim Volozhin discusses this. Prior to Matan Torah, Avodas Hashem was very much, as it were, on your own terms. How could it be that Yaakov Avinu married two sisters? Because he figured with great Ruach HaKodesh and the Seidais and the Ramazim that that would produce a certain tikkun which is all fine and well until Matan Torah. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, the Nefesh HaChaim, all of that changes. You can have the biggest tzaddik, you can have Bezalel who thinks that it may well be permitted to marry two sisters, but it's not kasher tzibur Hashem es Moshe. So if you want to know why Nadav and Avihu is an Aveira, why is that considered such a great Aveira, the answer is it's all because of Matan Torah. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron HaKohen, if only they would have done this prior to Matan Torah, it would have been a mitzvah gedolah. Post Matan Torah, non-kasher tzibur Hashem es Moshe, the very greatest mitzvah now becomes the very worst avir. That's the secret of Chodesh Nisan. As we approach Pesach now, which is the Yom Tov in which we celebrate being Avdei Hashem. Hallelu Avdei Hashem v'loy Avdei Pare. The secret of being an Eved Hashem is on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's terms. Na'aseh v'nishma. That's the old tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim in order to be Mekabel Torah. An Eved is only an Eved if he complies with the instructions of the master. So let's just conclude by pointing out, as we end, as it were, the calendar year, Adar, which leads us straight into Pesach, we have the most peculiar avodah on Purim. What is that avodah? Chayev Adam lebisumi ad lo yoda. One has to drink, become drunk, until the point that you actually are no longer coherent, no longer know the difference between Oror Homam and Baruch Mordechai. Why is that the Avodah of Purim? Says the Miri Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Shmulevitz. How did the whole Purim story begin? Because of Amalek. Why did Amalek exist? Because Shaul HaMelech was told to wipe out Amalek, but he had compassion on Agag. And a bast coil emerges from the heaven and it says, Al Tie Tzadik Harbe. You're being over-righteous. This is not Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instruction was, wipe out Amalek, every last one of them, and Shaul HaMelech made cheshbonis. Have compassion on Agag, and the rest, as they say, is history. Agag is the founder of the nation of Amalek. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, a magnificent chidush. What therefore is the tikkun? The tikkun is to become drunk on Purim ad delo yoda. Because Shaul's aveira was that yes yoda. Shaul made cheshbonos, he used his seichel as it were, kabiyochel, to circumvent the kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. The tikkun must therefore be, put your seichel aside. Ad lo yoda, understand that you're an Eved Hashem, it's Naase, only afterwards Nishma. And if you make calculations because you think you're a Tzaddik, Al Tiyeh Tzaddik Harbe, Kol HaMoisif Goyreya, that's an Eish Asher Loi Tziva Oysom. Therefore, Purim is the ultimate Hakdoma to Pesach. If you want to become true Avdei Hashem on the Leil HaSeder, the first thing you have to know is Naase V'Nishma, Ad Lo Yoda. We are mevatel our koyach of the seichel to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we understand that sometimes to add is in fact to diminish. Kol HaMoisif Goyreya. Al Tiyeh Tzaddik Harbe. We drink to the point Asher Lo Yoda. Ad Lo Yada. We mevatel our seichel, mevatel our das. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctions it, then it's a mitzvah. And if it's non-sanctioned, then by definition it's an aveiro. With that, we come to the Chag of Pesach. Then we can celebrate Hallelu Avdei Hashem, V'loy Avdei Paroi, because I've been mevatel my seichel. I've understood that I don't always understand. Zois Chukas HaTorah. If I do understand, I don't understand, that comes at the end. That's the Nishma. But first is the Naase. Having gone through the Purim, having learned the parashas of the Mishkan, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, that therefore is our ticket, Be'ezus Hashem, to end the Zman, to approach Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and ultimately Chag HaPesach, Habo Aleinu L'Teivo.